Thank you for joining me, Bertie Brits, in this broadcast of The Love Way. I believe you're going to be blessed. You're going to just prosper through this message. You're just going to experience the peace of God in your mind. And I believe that things will start to make more sense to you in the line of the gospel and what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. I've seen the greatest thing in the church today and in the world, not just the church, the unsaved people, everybody. The greatest thing that is keeping people away from grace is the mentality that says, by what I do, I'll become. And that has just infiltrated the church in so many ways. In these days, it's got just a different name. It's not called the law of Moses anymore, but it's called spiritual principles or laws by which certain things are governed, certain parts of the kingdom and all of that. Now, I've got good news for you. You don't have to live by some spiritual principle. You can live by the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that is enough for you. Hallelujah. We're going to look at a scripture in Matthew chapter 5. And I just believe that as we understand this message of grace, great peace will come to your heart. Miracles are going to happen. If you are listening to this broadcast and you've got sickness in your body, I want to encourage you and I want to say this. The faith that you have in your heart to be healed is great enough to be healed. The problem so many times is not that we must get greater faith, but that we must get the doubt and unbelief out of our system so that the faith which is already in us, which is great enough to see that the miracle can happen, can just start to operate. Let me give you an example. I also shared this in the first session on healing that I preached on a week or three ago. What I said is this. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by what God says. Now, God says that by the stripes of Jesus, you've been healed. And so many times we say, I believe that. I am persuaded of that. I've got faith concerning that. And that is all you need to be healed. But there's other stuff we also believe, like God tests us, God puts us through hard times to purify us, and a lot of rubbish like that. God does not do that. And if we believe those type of things, that's called unbelief. It's a belief, but it's un. It's not good. It's a wrong belief. And that opposes what is in our hearts. We must realize the Bible says that out of our hearts flows the issues of life. Now, what that means is out of your heart flows the very force that drives your life. And your heart is your belief system. We must realize most of the time when the Bible refers to the heart in the Old Testament, doesn't speak about the human spirit. It speaks about the mind or the intellect or the soul of man. It actually speaks of your subconscious mind. Now, your heart is what you believe with. For the Bible says, with a heart we believe unto righteousness. Now, if you are a double-minded man, it means in your mind you say, Jesus wants to heal me. But in the mind of your spirit, you say something else. Or your subconscious mind, you say something else. You say, well, God wants to put me through hard times to teach me. Your mind says God wants to bless you because you read in the scriptures that He wants you to prosper. But in your heart, your other mind, you say it's not in line with what you say in your cognitive. So we must realize that God wants us to be single-minded, not double-minded. We must be single-minded. And this is what the Bible says in James chapter 1. Do not be in error, my brother. Only what is good comes from God. And the only way the devil can work in our lives is through the law. Through a mentality that says, by what I do, I become. And I just want to clarify this. I'm not against the Ten Commandments. I'm not against a good living. I'm not against loving people. I'm not against having a good moral life. I'm not against that. But what I want to say is that the gospel is not just, the whole gospel is not about just behavior modification. No, the gospel is more than that. The gospel is not altering your behavior. It is changing your heart. And once your heart has been changed, the effect will show in your life. So let's not try to alter our behavior or change our behavior. Let's get into the gospel. And the gospel will bear fruit in our lives. The gospel is not about how much you must change. The gospel is about what you must believe. And as a man believes in his heart, so will he be. Hallelujah. Now, if you've got sickness in your body, and we can just get the good news into you, and you can get all the double-mindedness out of your heart, for a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, and he cannot receive from God. Not that God would not give unto him, but he would not receive from God. I heard Marna Snell say something on television that just blessed me so much. He said that because God is a giver, that doesn't make us givers. Because we are receivers. Because God gives and we are receivers, that makes us to become the way God is and to receive from Him. The only way we can become people that love is not by trying to love. It's not saying, well, God is somebody that loves people, now I must go and love. No. The only way you can become someone that loves somebody else is by receiving the love of God. The only way you can become holy is by receiving what God has freely given unto you and not trying to change what you do. You know, there's a wonderful scripture in Galatians chapter 2 where Paul actually says, I don't know why you judge me and say, you know, you don't live right, because I don't even try to live right. All I want to do is I want the life of Christ in me. The good that you see in me, Paul said, is not my effort to try to live right. It's the life of Christ in me. So that is what I believe we need to have. We don't have to try to live right. We must get the life of Christ in us and live. We are not human doings. We are human beings. Hallelujah. The Bible says you receive the Spirit of God and then you will be my witness. It's not about witnessing. It's not about doing. It's about being something. You know, it's very easy for me to preach the gospel. It's not difficult for me to go and say, well, let's make the session. Let's broadcast this on television. I'm so excited tonight we're starting with another gospel crusade again. You know, just, I've got this excitement in me. You know, I'm going to stand in front of a couple hundred people. We're going to preach the gospel. We're going to see crutches being thrown away. We're going to see the deaf people here. We're going to see people with back problems being healed, people with AIDS being healed. We're going to see all of that. And we're going to see people giving and committing their lives to the good news of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's not an effort for me. That is in my being. That's who I am. And when I go and I preach this gospel, don't say, "Yo, Bertie, you know, you're getting something right." No, I don't even try to go and preach. That's not what I try to do. All I do is I spend time in the Word of God and I find the nature of God living through me, influencing my thought patterns, influencing my mind, influencing my whole being. And all of a sudden I find the life of Christ living through me. The life you see in me, the life you see in me, me preaching the gospel, being passionate about Jesus Christ. It's not me trying to do it. It's the life of Christ in me. You are seeing Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? That's a manifestation of the sonship that there is inside me. Hallelujah, man. And it's not because I'm this wonderful guy by my works. I'm wonderful because of Jesus. You are wonderful because of Jesus. And if we can start to get that mentality into our minds, we will find such a change in our lives. We'll find healing coming into our lives. Hallelujah. You know, I don't want to live by the law anymore. I don't want to live by what I do, I'll become. I want to live by, I became something, therefore I do something. Hallelujah. With an emphasis not on the do at all. You know, if you look at a fruit tree, you don't have to teach the tree 10 lessons on how to bear fruit. So if we just make sure that the food is right, that we don't give the food of the law, because the law does not produce righteousness in any man. Paul said it so clearly. You can go and read the book of Romans, go and read Galatians. You have to be blind and deaf not to see the message of grace if you read those two books. It is so, it's just written right there. You just have to read it. Because Paul wrote down a revelation. So if we can go and see this message of grace, this message of love, this message of what God has freely given unto us, we will not try to live by these principles and all those things anymore, but we will live by the new law, the law of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. What does that mean? That means that if I'm in Christ, I live. Hallelujah. And that life is the fullness of life. The type of life that God has, the very Zoe of God, will indwell me. That's the law of life in Christ Jesus. And the most wonderful thing of the law of life in Christ Jesus is I am set free from the law that if I sin, I'm going to die. Now, you can be upset about that. You can write me another letter if you want. But I just want to say this, that is what the Word of God teaches. Thank you, my God. Hallelujah. And this message of grace has brought forth the life of Christ in me. You know, so many times we've got people living godly lives, but it's not the life of Christ manifesting in them. It's their effort to try to be right. Try to be godly. That's manifesting. It looks right. It looks godly, but it's not Christ. It's them. Now, I don't want to be born of myself. I don't want to be born of my effort trying to obey scriptures and even looking at the life of Jesus saying, well, I'm going to try to be like Jesus by what I do. I cannot be like Him by what I do. You'll never be like Him. Who do you want to make yourself out to be? The Christ by your own effort? No. I'm like Christ because He lives in me. Hallelujah. Amen. He gave birth unto me. I'm not born of the will of the flesh. I'm not born of the will of man. I'm not born out of my willpower, but I'm born of God because I've believed on Jesus. That's what the Bible says in John chapter 1, verses 12. Now, let's open the Word of God in Matthew chapter 5. And I just want to explain this chapter a little bit. It starts in verse 1, where Jesus speaks to the mountain, to the multitudes on the mountain, and He just gives the Beatitudes, the blessings, you know, blessed are the meek, and for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, and all of that. And then He comes to verse 13, where He says that you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savour or flavour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Now listen to this. He said unto them, you are the salt of the earth. Now Jesus lived under the old covenant and He spoke to people under the old covenant. He said, you, under the old covenant, you are the salt of the earth, but you've lost your salt. You couldn't give flavor or protection by trying to obey the law. He changed the whole thing. And then He said to them, now it has changed. You are now the light of the world. Now remember, Jesus said He came, He never called Himself salt. He always called Himself light. John called Himself light. He says, Jesus said, while the light is shining, we must work. He called Himself the light and He said, you are now the light. Speaking of the new covenant. And then He said, you are now a city that's set upon a hill and it cannot be hidden. So under the Old Testament, under salt, we could not bring forth saltiness. We could not give flavor. It was hidden. It was put away. It was put aside. But then in the New Testament, He says, you are now light and you are a city on a hill and this cannot be hidden. And you see, the thing under the Old Covenant was that the law was preached and then people would say, you know, this guy's preaching this and this and this, but he's doing this, this and this, and that is being trodden underfoot by men and good for nothing. And that sickness is still in the church today. The reason why people are pointing the finger so many times to pastors and leaders and Christians and saying they are doing this and they are doing that is because of what was preached all the time. You must do this, you must do that, you must do that. Now we cannot do it because that is hidden. Under the law, your life will not come forth. It's hidden. Let's go and read that, or you can go and read that. I don't have time for that. I just want to quote the scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 14, the Bible says, even until now there's a veil over the faces of those who are reading the law. The life that's in them cannot shine forth. The saltiness in them cannot give flavor or protection. And that's what He said unto the people. He says, you are salt, but you've lost your salt. You cannot bring forth flavor and you are trodden underfoot by men. But I'm giving a better covenant. I'm giving another covenant. I make you light now. and I put you on a hill. You are a city on a hill, and now it will not be hidden. Now, the only way the life of God can be hidden is when you are under the law, under the ministration of salt, trodden underfoot by men. Now, that's so many times I see it in the church, like I just said, people, pastors and leaders are trodden underfoot by men. It's like Paul said, you cannot step upon me because you are saying, why aren't you doing this right or that right? I'm not even preaching right and wrong. I'm preaching grace. So why do you judge me? I don't even judge myself. Can you see that there's no judgment from people towards people according to the law, except to the people that are under the law? The only people that will judge the people that's under grace are the people with a law mentality. I was shocked when I read Acts chapter 21. Paul came to Jerusalem to James and some of the other apostles and leaders and whatever, and he testified of what happened amongst the Gentiles, and then the church wanted to kill him. Not the religious Jewish people, the church, the born-agains, wanted to kill the apostle of grace. Now you might say, Bertie, I've never heard that teaching. Let's read it. And when he had saluted them or greeted them, he declared particularly what things God has wrought amongst the Gentiles by His ministry. Paul comes and he says, listen guys, I've had a wonderful crusade. Hallelujah. You know, thousands got saved. People got healed. Man, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, bless God. Now listen to this, and you can just see the hypocrisy here. You can just see that church politics there in verse 21. It says, and when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto Him. You see, they glorified the Lord and said unto Him, bless God, but Paul, in the same breath, oh, hallelujah, but. Now listen to this. And when they heard this, they glorified the Lord and said unto Him, thou see, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are zealous of the law. Now, so they believe, and they are zealous of the law. Now let's read the next one. And they are informed of you that you teach all the Jews which are amongst the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. So there were customs according to the law, which the church are still today doing. And then it says here that Paul said that look at how many people believed and they are zealous of the law, talking about the Jews. And then he says, and they are informed of you, they've listened to what you've done and said, and that you were telling the Jews amongst the Gentiles not to be circumcised. Man, and that made the church very upset. What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that you art come. So what is he saying? He says these people are going to come together and cause a lot of trouble because they heard you are in our midst now. They wanted to kill Paul. They wanted to really hurt him, the church. Why? Because they mixed law and grace, and they almost killed the apostle of grace, if you read further on. Then they came, and I'm not going to read all of this. They came with a suggestion and said, Paul, quickly make as if you are a Jew. Shave your head, make a new covenant, prepare yourself according to the customs of the law, and go to the temple. So that the people might say, this is not true. So deny all you've done, Paul. And you know what? I couldn't believe it, but Paul fell for it. But if you go and read in Galatians further on, man, he really didn't fall for that anymore. And he rebuked Peter and James for playing the hypocrite, mixing law and grace. You cannot mix law and grace. That is hypocrisy. It's not the life of God. And that is exactly what is happening so many times today. I want to tell you this, and I want to be... You must excuse me. I don't know how to be diplomatic. It's difficult for me. I can just speak the truth. And the truth is Jesus. I had a guy phone me and tell me, you must not preach grace. You must preach the truth. Oh, man. Jesus is the truth. Truth came by Jesus Christ. Before Jesus was there, there was no truth. It came by Jesus. Grace and truth came by Jesus. You must realize that truth stands on the side of grace. Because the law came by Moses, John 1:17. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What is grace? Grace is the very influence that Jesus had upon the human race and that He has upon your heart today. Hallelujah. One day I'll preach about grace. It's such a powerful, powerful message. If you really go and look into the Greek and into the Hebrew about grace and how grace works and all of that. So, what does Jesus say here? He says, listen, there was an old covenant under which you were salt, but it was hidden. It couldn't come forth. Now you are light. You are a city on a hill. It will not be hidden anymore. And let's read verse that verse again here. It says, you are the light of the world. A city that's set upon a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel or under an Afrikaans. It says a maatemmer. It's a bucket with which you measure. Okay? There's no measure to the light that will manifest in you when you're under grace. Okay? But on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Only by the message of grace will all see the glory of God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Hallelujah. Not dead works, but good works. So this light will shine forth good works. Just get into the light. Amen. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, verse 17, and the context. And now you might say, Bertie, you were preaching the thing out of context and all of that. I'm not, because let's read verse 17. The context of the salt and the light is definitely the law. Because in verse 17 he says, think not that I've come to destroy the law. He says, you are not salt anymore, you are light. Don't think that I've come to destroy the law. Jesus did not come to destroy the law. He could not come to destroy the law. If Jesus came to say that we should not obey the law, you know what? It wouldn't have worked. What wouldn't have worked? His whole messianic mission to the earth wouldn't have worked. He had to obey the law. And I'm sure we're going to get more, maybe a little bit into this today, more in the next session. Think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now that word fulfill means to come to do. I've come to do the law and the prophets. I've come to even strengthen it. You can go and read on. If you read the whole thing further on, Jesus just puts even a higher demand on people and a higher righteousness than the righteousness of the law. He says, the law says, you know, you should not kill. But I say, if you just say something bad, you've already murdered somebody. So he just places a much higher righteousness that should be obeyed. You know, a much higher law to bring forth righteousness. So he says, think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've not come to destroy the law or the prophets, but I've come to do it or to fulfill it. Now, let's speak about the prophetic and fulfillment. If I've got a prophetic word that I'm going to marry Helena Barnost, which is my wife, and I had the prophetic word years ago, 15 years ago, say for instance, and I got married to her, is that word still applicable today? Do I still walk by that prophetic word and I confess the word, I prophesy the word, I look at the word and I do the word? No, I don't do that. You know, that word is now forgotten because it has been fulfilled. I'm sitting with a substance. Hallelujah. I'm married to a beautiful lady. I'm married to Helena. Now, isn't that wonderful? The word was fulfilled, and now I sit with a substance. Now, I don't look at the word anymore. I look at what was produced out of that word, and I enjoy, hallelujah, what was given. Amen. Now, it says here, verse 18, it says, I've come to fulfill the prophecy, and I've come to fulfill the law. Now, just as much as what a prophetic word is fulfilled and then passes away, in the same way, Jesus speaks about the law. Once the law is done, it would pass away. Oh, hallelujah. Man, this is good teaching. It says in verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, not one point or comma shall in any way pass from the law. Now, so many people just stop to read there. And they say, well, that's it. You know, when you're in school, they teach you to read the whole sentence. You stop at a full point, not at the comma. It says there, I don't want to sound sarcastic, man, but I'm so passionate about this. It says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, comma, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, comma, till all be fulfilled or till the whole law is done. Now Jesus says, let's read verse 17. Think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I've not come to destroy, but I have come to fulfill. Okay? Then it says there in verse 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one point or comma shall pass away from the law. Until when? Till it is fulfilled. And he came to do what? He came to fulfill it. Hallelujah. Man, we've run out of time completely. So, man, God bless you. God prospers you. Receive your healing. And just send that praise report and what this has meant for you to the number on your screen. God bless you. Amen.